Thank you, Lord. So tonight we're going to not only teach, but we're going to do by example. So we're going to spend a little time at the end praying in the Spirit. All right? And so first, Ephesians 5:18 is our opening scripture. If you had a chance to download the outline, it is on CCB. And so you can get a hold of it on CCB. It's called Tongues, the Language of the Supernatural. So you can write that down as your notes. Tongues, the language, is to get filled and stay filled. Get filled and stay filled. So it's important. This is an important message, I believe, from the Lord Jesus Christ through to all of us at this church and every church, is to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians 5:18, Amplified says, do not get drunk with wine. Now, wine is typical of getting drunk. That's something, an agent that gets people drunk. But drunk could be, you could get drunk on circumstances, drunk on problems, drunk on people. But he said, don't get drunk on any outside influence, but let the inside influence come to bear. Because that before that, these outside influences become debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? So the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience. It's the power for living life. We say don't leave home without being filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. So I want you this month to really focus on consciously making sure that you're in the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit when you go out and conduct your affairs and go to work or business that you have to do. So it's not a one-time experience, we said. It's not the end of the Holy Spirit's filling. This scripture is telling us that we should be constant. It should only be the beginning. It should be a constant experience in your daily walk with the Lord, to be filled and filled again with the Holy Spirit. The word filled in the Greek language literally means being filled. It is a continuous word that means continue to be filled. There's one initial filling, many refillings. In other words, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a continual act of being filled with the Holy all the time. And so, praying in tongues once is not even remotely all there is. Don't stop. Keep going. Amen. It's just a doorway. So we get filled with the Spirit and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the power that will carry us through life. Now I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, Jude 20, and 1 Corinthians 3:16. I'm going to read out of the New Living, New King James Bible. Excuse me. New King James. 1 Corinthians 14, and so we're going to talk about this. This is really a long chapter about prophecy and tongues and the proper use of tongues. So let's read down. We're going to read down to the 28th verse. Verse 1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. We know that word gifts is the word italicized, which the word spiritual is the word same word in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Spiritual meaning pneumatikos, Greek word. It means things of the Spirit or things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. It's grace made specific, grace made manifest. So things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. Desire those things. So underline that word desire, because that is where things begin. Even in prayer, whatsoever things you desire. So you are to desire things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. You are to desire spiritual things. Now, motivation, behavior motivation usually begins with desire. I know I got ice cream in the refrigerator, and I desire ice cream. Guess what's going to happen? Ice cream's in trouble because it's getting ready to get consumed. Right? You desire, you got money in the bank, extra cash, You saw a nice outfit in online or on at the store, on a commercial. You desire that outfit. Guess what's going to happen? Money's going to get consumed in purchasing that outfit. So what you desire is what you will seek. What is the Holy Spirit telling us in 1 Corinthians 14:1? Desire things of the Spirit. Desire things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. After love, you know, we sung some beautiful songs tonight about love. And after love, desire things of the Spirit. Amen. So in between the two gifts and chapters, so to speak, the two pillars, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, and we talked about those, we got love in the middle. But he's saying that's the more excellent way. Love is priority, paramount. But he said desire, spiritual gifts. So where is my desire? Where is your desire? On August 2nd, 2017, how much of a desire is in you right now? Can you stir it up? Yes, you can. Amen. But especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks, verse 2, in a tongue, does not speak unto men, but unto God. But no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he that prophesieth is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Now, there's a lot in there. We're going to talk about a little bit more of that next week. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you in either by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things about without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you have uttered by tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There is, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, I do not know the meaning of the language. I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts as a talisman, things pertaining to the Holy Spirit, things of the Spirit, zealous for spiritual, let it be for the edification. That means this is the purpose. The purpose of these things is for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Amplified says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will also pray with the understanding. Excuse me. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Likewise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, verse 18, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Verse 20, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, be in malice be babies, but in understanding be mature. Verse 21, in the law it was written, with men with other tongues and other lips I will speak unto this people. And yet, for all of that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe, but to the unbelievers. But prophesying is not for the unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are all out of your mind? But if all prophesy and all and an unbeliever and an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, and he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let him do it, be that there be by two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Amen. Isn't that good stuff? A lot of good stuff in that chapter. Now let's go to Jude 20. Then we're going to get into some points here, more points. Right before Revelation, one chapter, Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Everybody say, I am. The temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in me. So, I'm going to read a quick prophecy here. Just a portion of a prophecy by Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin. Back in 1985, and he was talking about learn the voice of the Spirit, learn the touch of the Spirit of God, learn to yield to the anointing, learn the things of the Spirit of God. What's the message there? Everybody say learn. So how do you learn? By practice, precept, and practice, learning comes little bit by little bit, precept and example. It will not just come overnight to you any more than if you learn things instantly in the natural realm. But in the process of time, your body developed and your body was able to grow stronger and stronger through exercise. Your mind developed. So it is with your spirit. Learning to walk with me, said the Lord of hosts, learning my voice and listening to my word, feeding upon the word of God, praying in the spirit, is spiritual exercise that will make your spirit king to the things of God. Now, I'll stop and make a point right here. Brother Hagin said once before that to the born-again believer, the spiritual realm is just as, is the natural realm for your spirit. So as you walk into the spirit, the spiritual realm is natural for you. Just like the natural realm is natural to our natural man. Breathing oxygen, feeling heat, cold, wind, you know, all that thing, you know, our natural senses. The spiritual realm is the natural realm for your born-again, recreated human spirit. All right? And he goes on to say, and if only the members of the body of Christ would listen to the head of that body, which is Christ Jesus the Lord, then the entire body would be at work. And for there are no unused members in the body. There are no unused members in the body, and you would hear his voice say, go speak to that one. Go pray for that one. Go give to this one. Do this. And in the middle of the night, you would be wakened, but in your spirit, you would know what you should pray for another land, another continent. There are needs, and oftentimes saints of God in danger, for the forces of evil and the forces of darkness come against them. But you see if you would respond to the Spirit of God. If you would give yourself even unto prayer and unto the Holy Ghost. We have to give ourselves to prayer and the Holy Ghost. Then he would be able to use you. And things would come to pass on another continent because you prayed here on this continent. And in another country because you prayed here in this country. Because you see, there is a spiritual realm that overrides and overruns and oversees this the world that you see. And in the realm of the spirit, there are mighty forces, for it is written that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the rulers of the darkness of this world and so on. So equip yourselves by putting on the whole armor of God and praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the spirit, making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what will happen when you do that? Listen to this. And the work of God and the move of God, the revival, the wave of his glory that is already at work within the world will be accelerated, yea, stepped up tenfold and then a hundredfold. In other words, the work of God shall lurch forward like you drive away in your automobile and it doesn't go and something's not right. It's not going, but it's not real good. And you wonder what's wrong. You look and the emergency brake is on. So you release it and the car leaps forward. So the work of God shall leap forward as you give yourself unto prayer. Amen. Now, there was another prophecy that was given by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's very simple. And he was talking about those that pray in the Spirit an hour or more a day, they will live and walk in the supernatural. I believe that's a solicitation for us this month. Can we pray an hour or more a day and get in the realm of the Spirit and get some work done for God? And get the work of God accelerating in your own life. Now, when Sister Gloria Copeland, they're having the 50th anniversary of their Southwest Believers Convention this week, and she said she took that example. They mentioned it last night, I heard, when I was watching it. Pastor Cynthia and I were watching it. And she said she took that. She said at the time, what was needed was her son, John, was in enslaved by the enemy. He was on drugs. He's running away. He was doing things that he'd been taught not to do. And the work needed to be done in her family. And Kenneth Copeland, at the time, her husband had been just started his evangelistic ministry and was on TV. Now he's traveling around the world ministering now, and you know they got trouble at home. Are you listening to me? Yeah. And she said she took that. We heard Brother Hagin say that took it. And she said, pray 1 hour more a day. She said, my biggest deal is John. That was the son's name. He's 40-something years old now, in his mid-40s. And so been the CEO and of the ministry. And so he raised up a fine man of God, family and all that, now having grandchildren. And so, but he said that John was a big deal because John was on drugs. John was running around doing things he shouldn't be doing. He was causing trouble. And so he was a wayward child. Hadn't been raised that way, but just started doing that. Amen. I want you to think about things that in your life. And she put John up there and prayed for him 1 hour a day in tongues. That was her project in the morning. You know, John, pray for John. And as we get closer to the end, I'll explain some more technical details about that. Because when you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. James tells us, is any of you afflicted, let him pray. Well, that's usually what we categorize family prayer as. If you got something that's afflicting you, pray. In the old days, they used to pray around the altar in prayer, and when they prayed around the altar, you didn't get up and leave until you got your answer. Because you learned how to pray through. Pray until you got wisdom from God. Wisdom meaning instruction, direction, or correction. Are you listening to me? And so sometimes, as someone once said before, we're not praying in the Spirit enough to tap into the wisdom of God. We're not praying in the Spirit enough. You got to pray in the Spirit. I say, hey, Brother Lonnie. So you got to pray in the Spirit. So the work of God could be a work on your family. Well, how do you move that family situation up? By struggling and talking and trying to reason and rationalize with your kids who don't want to have anything to do with God? No. You pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. A man of God asked the Lord one time, he said, why is not anything happening? How come I'm not seeing getting any answers? What's wrong with my prayers? They're not seeming like I'm not getting any breakthroughs here. The Lord responded right away to him. He said, number one, you're not praying in the Spirit long enough to tap into my wisdom. And some people pray in the Spirit like they've got their toes in the water, in the kiddie pool. And the only thing they do is splash their toes around. But you got to go out there in the deep. There's a purpose for praying in the Spirit. It's not just aimless activity. It is praying for a purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it's important to pray in the Spirit. So she did that 1 hour a day for her son who was on drugs, running astray. And God supernaturally brought deliverance. What do you got in your house? What do you got in your family? Some of us try to muscle from a parental position of power, and there's a power struggle at the house. It's a power struggle at home, in the family. Pray in the Spirit. I hope that's helping some of you tonight. Because the Lord reminded me, and he said, I want you to talk about that, say that. So this is a language of the supernatural. So let's look at this for a minute. I don't know if everybody can see it real good, but I'll try to bring it up a little. So tongues are a sign. These are some PowerPoints of this dispensation. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, when Jesus pronounces going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, verse 15, he that believeth on and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, everybody say signs. Signs, these are not natural signs, these are supernatural signs. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They will accompany the believer. These are five supernatural signs that will accompany the believer. The first one is the restoration of our authority and dominion. That means we can drive out devils in the name of Jesus. So we can deal with the devils that try to deal with us. We're going to talk about devils in later this month. So remember, we're talking about tongues, angels, and demons this month. So you can drive out devils. He said, you, the believer, in Jesus' name, by Jesus' authority, can drive out who? Demons. Secondly, he said, they shall speak with what? Now, he said, didn't say, some translations say learn new languages, but that's not correct. This Greek word is glossolalia, which means it's supernatural. It's not natural. It's not going to a language school. It's an impartation of a language of the supernatural. You know, Acts 2:4 tells us, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with what? Tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who gave them the utterance? The Spirit. This is spiritual utterance. The Spirit doesn't do the speaking, you do the speaking, but he gives the utterance. Isn't that good? Yes. Now, when you're born again, you know, you receive all of the person of the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit didn't just stick his head inside your spirit and say, well, my legs and arms are outside it. No, he comes all the way in at the new birth. But then he fills you up with power at the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Both are gifts. The gift of salvation, born again. The gift of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Both gifts have to be believed and received by faith. Isn't that simple? So this is an initial sign. This is a sign of this dispensation. So, Tristan, if you would put the dispensation chart up for just a minute. Thank you, sir. So, the dispensations start with one dispensation of innocence. So sometimes people say, well, the Old Testament is the law. Well, the whole Old Testament was not the law. A portion of the Old Testament was the law. But the first dispensation was a dispensation of innocence. There are seven dispensations. Dispensations just simply means that God was dispensing a time period. He's out of time, but he works with us in time. Hallelujah. And to understand, you know, in time events, you must understand God's order. God's an order, God of order, and he's a God of logic. And so to understand end times, we have to understand that the subject of dispensation, these are divided time periods. God, this is how God dealt with man during different time periods. Now we're in the sixth dispensation, and there will be a seventh dispensation come that when we run out of time, time will be gone. We go in from time into transition into eternity. There's one common element with every dispensation. One, God starts it, man ends it. In every dispensation, God begins the dispensation and man successfully brings it to an end. So in other words, God starts it in righteousness, man ends it in sin. So dispensation one, you see Adam and Eve, that didn't last that long, right? Three chapters, less than three chapters. he gave a responsibility to man. Man blew it, and dispensation ended. Then we had dispensation of conscience. That's the second one. That's from Genesis 3:7 to Genesis 8:22. That's when the flood came. When the flood came, wiped everybody out, but Noah and eight people, his wife and his three boys and their wives, that ended. Then there was dispensation three. That was where the human government, that's where we see the Tower of Babel come up. God had to confound languages and people scattered. Human government, Genesis 9:1 through Genesis 11:32. Then there was a dispensation of promise. We see Abraham's time period until Moses. God prophesied to Abraham that your people will be delivered. He created through Abraham by faith a nation raised up. Genesis 14 tells us, first mention of the word Hebrew, first mention of the word king, first mention of the word priest, first mention of the word tithe. And so those were precedent-setting events during the promise dispensation. Now, some people equate this because they say, well, there was no tongues on the old. That wasn't there. And then nation to have tongues. It was the human government, promise dispensation. And then the law came on. The law lasted all the way through the end of the Gospel of John. Because Jesus came as a prophet under the Old Testament, under the law of Moses. When he taught and limited his ministry was limited to the Jews, those of the house of Israel, he basically focused on who? The Jews, under the law. Because some people say, well, Jesus didn't speak in tongues. Well, Jesus didn't do ministry under this dispensation. The church did not begin until the book of Acts. That's the dispensation of grace. We're under the dispensation of grace. And one of the distinguishing signs of this dispensation is the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because it was not the law of Moses now, it was the law written in our hearts. Not on tablets of stone, but on our hearts. Jeremiah prophesied about it. Ezekiel prophesied about it. Others prophesied about it, that the new law was coming, a new season. This was talking about forecasting and foretelling about the new dispensation we're under. Now, this dispensation we're under, dispensation 6, the grace, the church age, lasts through Revelation 19. That's when we go through the battle of Armageddon and all of that, and then when the great night, and then when Jesus comes back during the second coming and sets up his millennial kingdom, that's the last dispensation. Tongues will cease then. We go up to heaven. We don't need. Hallelujah. And we'll be reigning with Jesus during that 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom dispensation. And then after that, the great white throne judgment will end, you know, with those nations were still rebelling against God after 1,000 years. And then we'll go into eternity, a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Isn't that good? So what is tongues? It's a sign of this dispensation. Praise God. These signs shall accompany them that believe. Amen. Isn't that good? And so this is a sign. We see the sign, he mentions this, we just read it earlier, 1 Corinthians 14:22. The sign is for the unbeliever. You know, when there's a tongue and interpretation, and sign for believers. So we see these signs are just signals that, hey, this is something new. Because what came didn't come from the Old Testament. The gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, were the two that came on board during the new dispensation was tongues with interpretation. We had prophecy in the Old Testament. We had all the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. We had all that in the Old Testament. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, special faith. How all that happened in the Old Testament. But the two that didn't were tongues and interpretation of tongues. Divers kind of tongues, those are the ministry gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit. Isn't that good? All right, so next key point, PowerPoint here is speaking in tongues, or speaking or praying in tongues is a form of supernatural communication. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:2. We just read Mark 16:7, because he's saying to us in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow and believe. In my name shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. In other words, we've been created to speak, so now we get to speak with new tongues. And this is a communication to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:2 tells us that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to who? Men. So it's not a natural language, it's a supernatural language, but unto who? God. So you talk directly to God. Old Testament, they had to go through somebody. New Testament, we don't have to go through anybody. You go directly to the God of glory, the Lord of the universe. Amen? For no man understand him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. Secret truths and hidden things, the script, Amplified says, Weymouth Translation says, divine secrets. Not hidden from you, but hidden for you. Isn't that good? So you can speak in supernatural communication. So it's your spirit speaking, because we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 14, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So when your spirit is praying, you're praying in tongues. but my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. So you got to hook your tongue up to your spirit. Tongues are not for preaching and teaching. We read that through the scriptures. But for prayer, praise, and worship to God. Tongues are not for preaching and teaching, but for prayer, for praise, and for worship to God. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, all of them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Isn't that good? And then what did he say in 1 Corinthians 14? I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. So what does that mean? You should spend at least 50% of the time in prayer in tongues. 50% or more. If you spend most of your time in prayer in English, let's just bounce it out. And we're challenging you, you know, spend 1 hour more a day. Now, he said, I will sing with the Spirit? Because remember, the law first mentioned, when you talk about Bible interpretation, Bible rules, law first mentioned means what's mentioned first takes precedent and priority. So it's mentioned first. Praying in the Spirit is mentioned first. Singing with the Spirit is mentioned first. If you do all your singing in English, just add singing in the Spirit a lot more to your exercise. Now notice he said, I will pray. So you make a choice to pray in English, pray in the Spirit. It's a decision of your will to pray, to sing in the Spirit or sing in English or Spanish, depending on what preference you have on your singing. Now, Paul gave preeminence to speaking with tongues. He said, I thank my God I speak, 1 Corinthians 14:18. I speak with tongues more than you all. He was talking about the whole church. Now, what was he referring to? His private devotional life. Because he said, yet in public, I'd rather. See, people take those scriptures out of context, and they say, well, Paul said he'd rather speak 5 words in understanding than 1,000 words in tongues. He wasn't comparing that. He was saying, when I'm in a church setting, I'd rather talk language that people can understand and learn from, rather than speaking 1,000 words in tongues and nobody can understand what I'm talking about. So what's the point? The point is, tongues are not for preaching and teaching. Tongues are not for preaching and teaching, but they are for prayer and praise and worship to God. But he's telling us, he's telling the whole Corinthian church, I put a preeminence on it. Praying in the Spirit. He said, I thank my God, comparatively speaking, I speak in tongues more than all of you together. Now, that's embarrassing. The entire church, he was out praying the church. But let us not be our case. Amen? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Spend time praying in the Spirit a lot. All right? So praying in tongues is praying in line with God's perfect will. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, we said, when you don't know what to do, what do you do? Praying to the Spirit, praying the Spirit until what? Two things. You tap into God's wisdom. That means you get direction, instruction, or correction. Or you get a note of victory. Because sometimes he'll have in your heart to pray about somebody. You don't just pray and passively just shut down. You pray until you pray through or you get in the Spirit. Now, what is praying through, quote unquote, just an old phrase they used to use, or you pray until you get in the Spirit? When you're in the Spirit, things start happening in your spirit that they categorize a note of victory. That means your spirit gets light. The burden lifts. The burden lifts off your spirit, and or you start singing, Ephesians 5:18, singing and 19, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Right? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself. You start speaking. When you're filled, you start speaking. That's the correlation. When you're filled, you're speaking spiritual things. One of the spiritual things is psalms, spiritual poem or ode, hymns, we know what hymns are, and spiritual songs. Songs come up right out of your spirit. And he says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you're speaking and then you're singing. It's just spontaneous. It just bubbles up. It just comes up. You just got that tune and melody in your heart to the Lord all day long. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so you get that note of victory, you start singing. You might start laughing. Depending on scenario, God may use you to laugh. So this is how you know. How do I know I prayed through? Because, see, we're talking about serious stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. The devil's busy, and the time is short. So sometimes the devil may throw, the author of complexity might throw a complicated situation. You can't figure it out. You can't think it out. There's no logical rhyme or reason to it. Why did this happen? No, you got to pray in the Spirit. Until you tap into the wisdom of God, don't lap around the wisdom of God, tap in. When I get divine illumination, when I get revelation and impartation, and I know I got my instruction, I got my correction, I got my direction. Amen? Amen. In other words, we might say, we got the answer. Or you get that note of victory. That means your spirit knows it's going to be all right. The victory will come to pass and manifest in this situation. I'm singing victory. I'm laughing victory. Come on now. I might be dancing or jumping, shouting victory, because it's not flesh initiated, it's spirit initiated. It's coming out of your spirit. That inertia, that experience is coming out of your spirit, the experience of victory. And you just laugh at the devil. And watch the Lord bring all your enemies put them under your feet. Because they're under his feet. Somebody say, glory to God. Now, this is Holy Ghost technology, ladies and gentlemen. Now, some of you in here tonight got an iPhone 6, 7, or a Samsung, or whatever, Galaxy S, whatever. Come on now. This is more important than that. Yeah. Human technology is good. Thank God for it, right? They got some cool cars out there. But and phones and devices. They got some good stuff. But Holy Ghost technology is much more better. Amen. I'm not talking about human technologies now. I'm talking about Holy Ghost technology. Amen? So you're thinking about, okay, situation in my family, I know what I got to do. Situation in my finances, I know what I got to do. Praying, everybody say, pray in the Spirit. Now let's look at this scripture in Romans 8, and then I'm going to read a prophecy and practice, do some praying. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, for because he maketh intercession for the saints according to who? The will of God. According to the will of God. So the according to the will of God, the Holy Spirit can take hold, the Holy Spirit takes hold together, that's what it just basically means, takes hold together with you against that situation. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't pray for you. He helps you pray. Because the problem, the challenge is, this situation is so complex or complicated that you don't know how to really go at it in prayer. And so you got to go into the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can take hold together with you against that thing. It's like pulling you out of the ditch of that situation. Amen? Amen? You don't know how to say, you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit helps bring you through. You pray your way out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We ought to be doing a lot more. The objective is to stir you up to start praying more in the Holy Spirit. We're tolerating stuff that we shouldn't. Now, here's a prophecy. Again, when we're going to pray. Speak, this is by Kenneth E. Hagin at Winter Bible Seminar, February 20th, 1997. Speaking by the Spirit, not just speaking words out of your own mind or thinking, but speaking by the Spirit, words that are inspired by the Spirit of God. Words that well up from within you, out of your spirit, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Those words, spoken boldly, bring forth great happenings. Speaking by the Spirit, and so the glory of God shall come into manifestation. And some will see it like a cloud that hangs over the heads of the people. Others may not see anything, but they will sense the mighty move of his Spirit. Speaking by the Spirit, yielding your tongue unto the Holy Ghost. But you see, taking time to pray in the Spirit, taking time to pray in other tongues will get you tuned up, will edify you, will get you your tongue hooked up to your spirit so that you will, that he will dwell, he who dwells in your spirit can give you utterance. Then he can take over and your and you speak out what he says, not what you think. Speak out what he wants. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so the spirit of seeing and the spirit of knowing into greater manifestations shall come. But all these, all nine of these manifestations, and all of them working in that one and self-same spirit, and at one the same time, the inspirational gifts, men, women speaking by the Spirit, by prophecy, inspired utterance, by tongues and interpretation, shall bring forth marvelous statements about bringing by, and bring to pass and bring into being into this sense realm, where men can see and know the operation of the Spirit of God and the manifestation of the Spirit of God and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. So rejoice ye and be glad. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand. Glory to God. Glory to God. Next week we'll kick into reasons why we should be speaking in tongues, but we'll talk a little bit more about some of the benefits and values. Speaking that we gave you three big ones tonight. Praise God.